The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
I still think we need to make that a bit smoother.
What?
Well, you know, it's like when you come on stage to speak, isn't it? It's a bit embarrassing sometimes. You go, hello. It's like Billy Connolly says that. He says, I'm not very good at coming on stage and I'm not very good leaving it, but I love the in-between bit.
Yeah.
And I think we need to practice this.
Practice it?
Yeah.
Do we?
Well, I never know what to say. Do you say hello? Do I say it's Bird? It's Sarah?
Improvise.
Oh, good to know.
Do something different each time.
Yeah, but you know I'm a rebel. I'll do something so bad.
You could go, here's a play what I wrote.
anyway, yeah. Good point. You're right.
Yeah, I'm fine. I was just saying, just before we came back on air while we were listening to the news, we haven't read a single email yet, and we got hundreds, and we've got two more fantastic guests to talk to, so we probably need to crack on.
All right. Is that a that poke?
That was a poke for you, yeah.
Nice. I've got it on board. Here we go. The Marsh Academy here in New Romney is holding a careers and job fair on the 2nd of July for its 15 to 18-year-olds. I'm looking to put together a local business employer corner with around 10 to 12 businesses who can explain what they look for when they recruit young people. Maybe they'll have jobs coming up, or they can just have a discussion with young people to tell them about the world of work in the Marsh and adjacent areas like Rye or Ashford or Folkestone. So we should have enough space for banners as well. And if you can spare some time on the 2nd of July and you'd like more information, then you need to contact Terry at marshnetwork.co.uk. They're really interesting. Do you remember Terry was just going down to the school that week to discuss his idea of putting this together, because they do a careers day, but they don't have any businesses going in. And he said, I really feel it important that we get all the local businesses coming in as well. So he's made it happen. Love that.
Yeah, and it's important for schools. One, they have a thing called a Gatsby benchmark, which they have to pass. But two, I was at the House of Commons a couple of weeks ago at the launch of the new T-levels, and the new T-levels come on stream in 2020, and they require pupils at school to have 45 days a year work experience.
Wow.
So they schools really need to up their game in terms of building relationships with businesses.
And how old do they be for that? How old do they have to be? 16?
17. Well, it's in lieu of A levels. It's a 2-year T level, which is worth 3 A levels.
Mm. Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult getting
45
that
45 days, yeah. They're going to up their game. Big time.
So I want to do another email as well, just because I'm being greedy now.
Yes.
Well, it just leads in nicely and you'll go, oh my God, Brad, you're so professional.
I'll plan this. Yeah.
Right. Help bridge the gap between schools and businesses.
See, I knew you were going to do that.
Do you see what I did then? Oh, no. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through the skills 30-30,
absolutely.
Mr. Andrews.
Yeah.
In this 2-hour event, businesses hear from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups while students take part in an employment-related workshop. Now, the programme for businesses is a 1-hour networking and presentations, FSB lobbying update, a Kent-supported employment team, Enterprise Advisor Network, and Mr. Paul Andrews on skills and employment. And for the students, there's a 1-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job and use LinkedIn in your advantage. And then they bring the two together. So businesses and students have 40 minutes of facilitated networking, and then they do a free-for-all of 10 minutes free networking. So if you want to know more about this, you need to email alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk. Now, the next events are the 3rd of July at St George Church of England Foundation School at Broadstairs, and then the 25th of September at Haysbrook School, Tunbridge. And I hate to mention this date, but it's the 20th of November. Oh, my good Lord.
I've got one scheduled for 20th.
You do this every
21st
time.
Of June 2020 as well.
Why isn't it on here?
At the Wilmington Academy.
Why isn't it on here?
Well, because I didn't want you to explode your head by having dates
Look
for next year.
Look how long he gives me these emails, everybody. Look, they just go. I've got to keep yapping, and then I have to. So anyway, get along to them because they're really important.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting, Gareth. At 30-30, which I present, one of the speakers that speaks regularly at our events is Ralph Mayer from LinkedIn. And guess where we met Ralph? We met him at ZC Live a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Ralph, who we met at ZC Live, he's one of the senior managers at LinkedIn in the UK, and he comes and does talks about using LinkedIn for aiding your career, but also about how to present yourself on LinkedIn when you've got nothing to present. You know, so as a student, you've got no CV, you've got no track record. So he teaches you how to put together a profile on LinkedIn that, one, is safe, and he talks about safety online, and also how to put it together when you've got nothing to put in it, which is really brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, and they say, hello, Paul, Vanilla Web, we'd love a good old Business Bunker shout-out, please, if possible. Well, of course it's possible. That's Michael Parks, Commercial Surveyors, over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
And they were over with us last week, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Yeah. They shared the cheesecake.
And, it was amazing.
It was amazing. Cool. Good. What you got?
You want me to keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Here we go. Dementia Action Week. Monday the 20th of May to the Sunday the 26th of May. This is already gone.
Don't read it then.
Excellent. Free employment law breakfast seminar. See what I did there? Smooth conduit.
Smooth.
I
didn't notice the segue there.
You say segue, I say conduit. Interesting. Free employment law breakfast seminars. The topics are this. Non-disclosure agreements. Really, really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Cole Vincent is doing that. Brexit implications of employment law. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Paul McKelvey,
yeah.
There we go. And managing staff absence is David Morgan. You're invited to Girling's free breakfast seminars for HR professionals, managers and business owners. And this is delivered by Girling's employment law specialist, Cole Vincent, Paul McKelvey and David Morgan. These seminars are designed to give you the very latest information in the workplace law and are held in Sandwich, Canterbury, Ashford. Here's the dates. You've got Thursday the 6th of June, that's at Sandwich, 8:45 till 10:15. Bear in mind this is a breakfast, so it's going to be early morning. Mm. Quite interesting that they're doing 8:45 and not earlier. That's at Sandwich, and that's at the Discovery Park. You've got Canterbury, that's the 11th of June, 8:45 till 10:15, and that's at the County Cricket Ground in Canterbury. And then you've got Ashford, and that's on the 13th of June at 8:45 till 10:15, and that's at Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce, and that's in Ashford.
Fantastic, thank you.
Pleasure.
Have you read your tweet from your little fan club yet?
Nope.
Carl's from
Kent.
Has
he been in there?
I think
I saw it. Do you
want
to read it?
No, I couldn't see it. I haven't seen it. Because I don't think he addressed me. I think he just addressed you.
No, he does not.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
I've got one from Athelbray, though.
What have they said?
They talked about
conditioning.
No.
They're on it, I'm telling you.
Yeah. No, they're not. They've sent a lovely gif of Minnie Mouse, but it says, Business Bunker, have a great show. We're in Northampton, so we're not able to listen live. We'll listen on catch up, but we'd still love a shout out, please, for communications courses on the 12th of June at Chilston Park. It's just £199 a person for the whole day, looking at personal communication style and positively handling others who may be challenging. If you want to find out more about it, you can call them on 01892 832 059. That's 01892 832 059, or you can follow them on the Twitter at Athelbray Limited. That's Athelbrae Ltd. Give them a follow. Hope you've had fun in Northampton.
Do people use telephones anymore to call?
Sometimes. Not a lot. Cool. Sometimes I just shout.
Not from Northampton, they don't. Could you imagine? Bird!
Yeah.
Ernie!
Hello!
very funny. Have you seen Romney Resource?
No, well, I have, but I haven't read it.
Well, it says, have a great show today, guys. Romney Resource Centre is running an emergency first aid at work course on Monday the 24th of June. You can book onto the course by contacting us via Facebook, Twitter, here you go, or calling on 01797 367455. Go and have a look at that. So it's a free first aid course.
How much is it?
It's free.
Is it?
That means you don't pay anything.
Really?
Who knew?
So there's no cost?
Not that I'm aware of.
It must be free then. What do you reckon? Cool. Do you know what? I think we'll talk to our next guest. What do you reckon?
Well, we've got a very famous guest.
Yeah, we have.
He's very, very famous.
When I arrived here today,
we've got screaming girls outside and everything.
Vicky, who's manning the reception desk, she said, "Who's your guest today?" And I said, "Gareth Cairns." "Oh, Gareth, I know Gareth." I said, "Beth Frost." "Oh, I don't know Beth." And Louis Thomas said, "No." And I went, "Yeah, no, honestly, it is the famous estate agent from Folkestone."
That's me.
Yeah, Louis. Hi.
Yes. I'm already.
I know. Unfortunately, not my famous counterpart. But yeah, I'm Louis from Hart Estate Agents in Folkestone, and this is Beth.
Hi, I'm Beth Rossiter from the Hart area of Herne Bay and Whitstable.
Fantastic! Look, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Beth, you've been on before, but it was like 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Not that long ago. Oh no, Paul. Yeah. I think probably about 15. But yeah.
Yeah. It was quite a long time ago because we were in Dimchurch when we were on, and that was a long time ago when the studio was there.
I had a nice cup of tea around yours, I think, afterwards.
We did, yeah. So thank you both for joining us. Why don't you kick off? I don't mind who goes with this, mm-hmm. by telling us a bit about Hart as a group, as a whole, because I know you're part of a national estate agency chain, but you're also kind of growing your presence in Kent, aren't you? So let's hear about the backstory of Hart first.
Sure. Yeah. Shall I go over?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, so Hart is part of Spicer Hart is the main group.
Yeah.
That's the larger firm, which was set up originally in 1989.
Right.
So Paul Smith is the managing director, group managing director.
Correct.
He set it up with his dad, Alec. So it, through and through, family-run business, and it still is today.
Right.
Alec has stepped back, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. His parting gift to Paul was the large head office in Colchester.
Correct.
We were up there the other day. Fantastic company. They're looking to move into the southeast. Mm. Their foothold's really been across the rest of the United Kingdom, Wales, everywhere, aren't they, Beth?
Yeah.
But now coming down into the southeast, doing something quite different. So most estate agencies have offices set up in the towns where they work. Spicer Hart and Hart, as we're going to be branded, are looking to do something called a hub and a spoke.
They are. Ooh. And actually taking it back just a little bit, 1999, Hart actually took over from Halifax and Woolwich.
Yeah.
Right.
And actually bought out over 120 offices, so right. That's where Hart came from.
Okay.
So from that, obviously, there's areas within the country that they haven't actually covered to date. So the reason and the thought behind it is obviously to cover areas that they haven't, hence why they're coming down to the Kent area, which is really exciting.
Exactly right.
So you mentioned this Hart and Spoke arrangement, so how's that going to work?
So
Hub and
Spoke. So Ashford office has always been established.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be Herne Bay, which is Beth.
Right.
And then Folkestone, and that's me.
Right.
And that's for starters.
Right.
Essentially, we will be what's called personal moving consultants.
Right.
So as opposed to your traditional estate agent where you have an office of people.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, Gareth, you said something earlier about entry-level service and you get the higher-ups and then all of a sudden you just seem to disappear. You phone back up and that person that you first came on the market with, where are they? They're out of the office. They're in a meeting. That isn't going to be the case. It's just us.
All right.
So
we're going to become the go-to agent.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
so
in town.
We are going to be experts in our own fields. We're going to be experts in our own area. And we're going to be a personal contact. So we're stripping it right back.
Yeah.
Whilst the social media side of things is going to be of paramount importance, we will be taking it right back to being the person that people come to, not to just help them to sell, but we're concentrating on helping them.
I like that. I like that. Because what you're actually offering is a personal consultancy type service.
Yeah.
And people like to buy into that.
Yeah.
Marketing and establishing your brand and all the rest of it can be done quite well via technology now.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality, certainly in a service business, is that clients like to build relationships, especially with something as important as the most expensive thing you'll ever buy in your life.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. It's a very personal thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're coming into their personal space, which has got memories, it's got history, but actually what they're looking to do is not necessarily worry about where they're at now, it's where they're looking to go.
Yeah.
So that might be a nursing home, it might be a new job relocation, it could be anywhere, but they're actually focusing in on...
Why was she looking at me when she said nursing homes?
Well, I've got a few in mind, so, yeah, it's looking for their future rather than looking at the now. We're looking at, you know, why they're looking to move for the future and to support them in every aspect of their move.
I think the biggest... Oh, sorry, Paul.
No, I was just going to say, it was interesting that you mentioned nursing homes. A week or so back, I spent the afternoon with a friend of mine, Leon Steer, who's chief executive of Rapport Housing, which is a social housing care home company based here in Kent, and he was talking about the radical change that's happening in the care marketplace. Once upon a time, older people were put into care homes as they got older. That's almost stopped completely now. The only care homes that there are still care homes about, but they tend to be small one-off places. The care homes that exist tend to be specialist care homes for people with dementia or other illnesses. Most other fully fit older people now have social housing. So they have a complex of houses and flats where they live, which have concierges and maybe nursing and medical support on site, but they don't live in a home, you know, a collective home. They live in their own house or apartment. So interesting change just in the last few years.
And I think people want to stay living in their own homes as long as possible. And I think that's, again, something that we can support people with. You know, we'll move, and then once you're in your next home, we can support right the way through.
Well, because it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, and a lot of this is to do with the value of property. There's probably, just for what it's worth, there's probably not a single person in the southeast of England that wouldn't be hit with inheritance tax just because everyone's house is worth so much because it's in the southeast of England. So you've got all those kind of issues to face.
Think, interestingly, in the last couple of weeks, we've looked into the history of when people move. And it's, generically, it used to be around 9 years. People moved, and 8 to 9 years, and it's now around 19 years.
So. Well, it's funny. You won't know about this, Beth. It's funny. A couple of years ago, I started. I was living on my own at the time in a reasonably sized house, and I thought to myself, do you know what? This is stupid. I ought to move. Because at the time, I was doing okay. Because what I did, I didn't have to clean the house because I had so many rooms. So what I did is when one got dirty, I just moved rooms. And anyway, I started to look into moving house. And it suddenly dawned on me that it was going to cost me like 50 odd grand just to move house. And then someone I know persuaded me to build an extension, Beth.
I wonder who that was.
Who was that then, Beth?
It's very nice, though. And it's still on your Facebook page.
It is, yeah. So instead of moving, I actually made the house bigger, didn't I, Beth? And a very good job she did of it, too.
Thank you.
See, a lot more people extending now than moving as well is a big factor. In a past life, I was a mortgage advisor, and a lot of people coming to me extending, you know, taking out further finance to extend their current home. Just with the cost of moving going up.
I think we were talking with Gareth earlier on about obviously the social media side of things. Certainly my background is sort of 15 years of interior design as well. Obviously we're looking at people aesthetically looking at properties online, and people are not now driving by houses. They are literally looking at the internet and saying, but this one looks nice. So aesthetically, they need to be.
I mean, that's a really important point, especially nowadays with things like video and 360 view and 360 walkthrough and all of those kind of technical advancements of things. You don't need to get in your car and drive and look at somewhere. You can see it online. And I mean, it's not, you know, sometimes you do want to see because, you know, we all know that, you know, you can hide the nuclear power station that you can see out in the back garden if you're getting the right angle on the photograph.
We've had lots of training in the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about that one.
That's something that Hartopper, which I'll let Louis explain with regards to the
QSPs. So just jargon buster, as quick sneak peek. So, I mean, we are focusing hugely on video. Like we've been alluding to, it is just the way forward. People don't just want to see it now. It's, you know, they want to see it. And they want to be able to, you know, get all different angles of the property and just have that ease of access. And nonetheless, the homeowners, they want that to be happening quickly. They don't want their property going on the market in 2 weeks' time. They want to move yesterday.
It's interesting. I throw this out as a genuine question. Like so many things impacted by technology, it would strike me that the estate agency business also has, you know, I know that there are alternative companies that do different ways of doing it and stuff like that. I'm not worried so much about that. I'm kind of thinking more about things like valuing your house and stuff like that. You know, you can go onto Zoopla and it'll tell you how much your house is worth. You know,
often wrongly. Though.
I was going to say, it's not, it's not always, I'm not going to get 4 million. Is that what you're telling me, Beth? I've spent the money now.
You've got to be very careful with the online.
Of course you have. But But the point is people do that, and then they do take it at face value or whatever, and start to go, do you know what, my house is valued at this, without getting a proper valuation. Yeah. That was kind of the point I was coming to.
Yeah, yeah.
That says, you know, sometimes it can skew what you're doing. Yeah,
it's causing an issue because agents will go out and they'll overvalue.
Yeah,
they want to tell the homeowner what they want to hear.
Yeah,
problem with that is that then that house comes to the market and they have an unrealistic expectation of what they're actually going to get. Yeah. They will then look and find a property.
Yeah,
and say, really want this one, but we need to achieve X.
Yeah.
To be able to afford it, so the house has to stay on the market at that price.
Yeah,
and you only have to look. I mean, I did some research earlier today. I look at these every single day. But Halifax average house price sold, as well as the ONS, which is the Office for National Statistics, it's a land registry, showing fairly similarly. But average in the UK, 227,322 is the average sold price last month from the Office of National Statistics. Whereas Rightmove asking price for the same month, £308,000.
Right.
So you can see there's a huge difference between where the asking prices are and what people are actually achieving.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a sense that the market's slowed.
Yeah.
Where it hasn't, it's just that people haven't got the right expectation based on...
That's where Hart's sort of looking slightly differently to a lot of the agents. Yeah. We're actually going in on a realistic price. We're not looking to come down on the price, and we're looking to drive more viewings to bring the price up.
Because it is a bit stupid, isn't it? I'm not lying about this. I'm not... it was quite a long time ago as well. My house before this one, so it was more than 14 years ago. So
How many houses have you got?
I've only got one. I've only got one currently. How many have I had? Not that many. I don't think I've moved that often. About 9 times. Anyway, the house before this one that I had, we got some local agents to come and value it. And... I'm not kidding, right? The top valuation was 4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the lowest valuation was 900,000.
Wow. It says it all.
Was that an expectation that's been set to you that you could possibly get £4 million?
Yeah.
And then whenever it comes to the crunch, you know what, we're only going to give you 950,000.
Yeah, it doesn't help Paul move forward, does it?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's exactly the point.
Be honest.
And that's kind of what you were saying, Louis, isn't it? That's, you know, so many agents would come out and just tell you stupid numbers just to get the gig.
They're
and
chasing
then they go,
the KPI.
Yeah.
Literally just chasing their KPI. They want to get that list in and it sits on the market. I mean, I look every single day and see houses in Folkestone, Herne Bay and other areas that I've worked in before that have been on the market for. People have even had their anniversary, their birthday with that estate agent. They've been on for a whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that doing to the market of your house?
And does a person say, when does it get to a point where they say enough's enough? Do you know, does it come to a point, well, is it the estate agent or is it the market? Because obviously you're going with an estate agent and you want to be obviously doing them to do their job. But if it's, you know, it's sort of fine now. Well, what is it? Is it the market or is it?
I think, I mean, you know, I'll take my dear mum for an example. She's on Rightmove all of the time, but she's always looking at asking prices. And that's all that, you know, the general public have got as access to information right this second.
Yeah.
As estate agents, we can get behind Rightmove and we can find out about sold prices.
Yeah.
And you can see that the houses that come to the market at the right price sell within 4 weeks, and they should.
It's interesting. From my point of view, as the owner of Jobs in Kent, where we do recruitment, one of the things I tell to job seekers, you know, because a lot of job seekers go, oh, I saw a really good job on there, but the salary wasn't much. Or whatever. I go, well, did you haggle? I go, no. Look, somebody puts a job up and they put a salary on there, which is indicative. It doesn't mean to say someone's going to take the job at that salary. If you're good, why don't you go and go, look, I'd work for you, but I'd want a lot more money than that, and see what they say. Because it's not set in stone, and it's exactly like that. Yeah. You can have an asking price. You can ask for what you like.
Exactly.
It isn't necessarily what you're going to get.
Yeah. What the buyer's prepared to pay.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
That particular house that I just told you about, which we sold eventually, we only ever had one person look at it, ever, and they bought it instantly. And they actually paid more than we had it on the market for.
Priced correctly.
£4 million.
Almost. But they wanted the house.
Yep.
And they didn't want anyone else to have it. Yep. They made us an offer that was over what we were asking for. And we accepted the offer because no one else had seen the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This actually segues really nicely, Paul, if you don't mind, into something that we have to offer at Heart, which is something that I get personally very excited about. So if I go on a spiel, please stop me.
Yeah, and don't bang the table.
Don't bang the table. So Flink is basically a bit of software that Heart have...
Blink?
Flink.
Oh, Flink.
With an F, yes.
Yeah, Flink.
Flink. So basically what it does is it produces up to 90 social media adverts, Gareth. What it does is it puts them all out over the internet using cookies, and it targets people, which we would call passive buyers. They don't yet know they're looking in an area, but Flink picks up, you know, through its algorithms, what they've searched in the past, and it will put your property, the videos that we make, all of these unique adverts in front of them. And then it produces these emotional buyers, like the person that came and bought your house.
Absolutely.
And they will pay the top price because they're...
They want it. Yeah.
It's not putting it in someone's face for no reason. It's there. And it's what they're after. So it's really using the power of social media, and it helps you sell more quickly.
Is this
as well.
A general purpose piece of software, or is it a piece of software exclusive to Heart?
It's exclusive to Heart.
No other agents offering.
We actually outbid Rightmove for it.
Right.
We outbid Rightmove for it. It was that important to Paul Smith, the director.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. Yeah. And that's why Heart coming to Kent is really exciting. Yeah. Obviously, it's a completely new way. This
is where technology really works. Yeah. Because we've got the. I call it a long tail of technology, and so many people focus with digital on big numbers, big reach, millions of people, global, you can talk, yada, 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 yada. For me, the technology is much more about targeting and about putting things in front of the right people and establishing niches and finding groups of people wherever they might be hiding in the world that have something in common, depending on what you're doing. So what you're telling me here is that you're looking for the ultimate buyer of the ultimate property, whatever that is in both buyer and seller's mind, So you've got a property that to lots of people, they would go, really not interested in that. But there's somewhere out in the world, there's somebody wandering around going, if only I could find XYZ. And if you can match those two, it's a match made in heaven, isn't it? Because it is matching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. Is that something you're using now? Is it about to come online? Where are you with it?
No, so Flink's being used already by Spicer Heart, the whole group, and by Heart themselves. But any property that comes to the market with us, Flink takes over.
Right. Okay. Cool. We'll come back and talk about that in a minute. But I want to talk to a certain person here about design, interior design.
Okay.
So, Louis. So, Beth, you're involved with Mirage Design as well. And as I just alluded to, you did a fantastic design on my house, and you project managed the building of my kitchen extension, which, as you quite rightly say, is now the front page of my Facebook homepage and has been since it done. And I saw, because Melvin, who's the Melvin and his brother that did the building and everything, they put one of those Facebook anniversary things up.
Yes, I saw.
And it was, what was it, the fourth anniversary? Yeah. So, yeah.
How time flies.
I know, it's gone really quickly. I actually cooked something the other day.
Not from the microwave, I hope.
Oh, yeah. So tell us a little bit about Mirage Design and the kind of things that you've been involved with that, Beth.
Well, Mirage is very much looking at the design element for people to present their homes for sale.
Yeah.
So obviously it links really nicely with Heart to be able to support people. We also work with developers designing show homes and obviously working with clients like yourself to enhance your existing property, which will in turn add value.
Mm.
So we cover Kent, we're South East London, Surrey and Sussex.
It always amazes me how a lot of people can try and sell a property without even tidying it up, let alone doing anything else.
Really, really frustrating.
Yeah, and you think, really? You know, it's like trying to flog your car with two flat tyres, isn't it? And you go, yeah, well, you can put some air in that sometime. You know, for the amount of effort that it takes, which isn't very much, the difference it can make is quite extraordinary, is it not?
I think that's for obviously working with Heart now, which is a really exciting opportunity to build a brand within the local area where I live. It's actually helping people, as we say, to be the come-to agent. But that's also being able to look at the end product and making sure that the QSPs, the quick sneak peeks, are looking at their best. It's great to have photography, but if what you're photographing is not going to show to its best, then obviously you're presenting something that's not going to look great on the internet. You know, it's about presenting your home for sale. And in America, they will not take properties on the market unless they're presented. So we are way behind.
Agent will refuse.
We're way behind with that. So
it's just startling, isn't it? That even something like just painting the front door can make a massive difference to how people see what they're looking at.
It's the first impression, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. And often we're asked, where do you spend your time? And I say, well, it's on the lead up. You know, it's from the garden gate and the main area is the hallway.
Yeah.
If you've lost people from the hallway, you've lost them. You know, it's not the kitchen, the bathroom, the garden. You know, it is literally, if they feel it as they walk through the door.
It's like interviewing people, isn't it? It's those first 30 seconds. Your first impression is very hard to shift once you've made your first impression.
And it's key, obviously, with the viewings. You know, if people are walking through the door and if they might have 10 viewings, you know, particularly on our open houses, which we do, it's even more of paramount importance that the open house day is shown to its best potential.
So if you've got a client looking to sell their house, is this something that you're going to be offering them? Like, I would have called it staging. Is it staging they call it?
Yeah, staging. I mean, I think every client's going to be different. So part of our come to me. As the go-to sort of agent, it will be evaluating every single property, how long they've been on the market, how many agents they've used, if they've already reduced the price, either they've been put on at the wrong price, which inevitably is going to be the problem, but also let's look at the overall picture. And if my services can come into play to be able to help with that, then it can only be a win-win. The bottom line is we want obviously that client to be able to move on to their next property. So if we can get more people through the door, you're going to get more offers and the best possible price.
Absolutely.
It might take a small investment from them, but at the end of the day, if they get a bigger net figure afterwards, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
A lot of people get caught up on fee and what they pay, but you don't pay till the end, and it's a percentage of
What you get.
So if you do get your 4 million, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter if you've paid 2%, does it, right?
No, it's about the sold boards.
Exactly,
that's what
yeah.
we're aiming to do, to bring something new in a state agency, which is what's very exciting.
Just for avoidance of doubt, if the HMRC are listening, I didn't get 4 million for that. Property. It's a very divisive topic these days, we have... certainly in Kent and the southeast in general, there's a huge amount of house building going on. But all the top line indicators are we still aren't building enough houses. I'm a believer in building houses. I think we need to house people, and that's, you know, you need houses in order to house them. And it's as simple as that. My views on this, and I'm just going to have a little bit of a rant about it, and then you can put me straight, basically, and tell me how you feel about this. I think our planning laws are archaic, and they need to change. I think we need to review what we class as green belt, because there's a lot of land that's classed as green belt that you wouldn't remotely class as green belt. I saw a picture the other day of a disused petrol station, which is actually can't be built on because it's in the green belt. I mean, you just think it's a tip. It's horrible. So we've got to be more sensible about that. But also for me, it's not just about building. A lot of people talk about, well, if we had more houses, the price would come down. Yeah, maybe a little bit, but still, you know, even so, you're still talking ridiculous sums. For me, the biggest problem is since the financial crash of 2007. People don't lend on mortgages in the way that they used to. And that's incredibly difficult for young people. You know, my youngest son's 24. He lives in London. He lives in Brixton. He wants to buy somewhere. Yeah. He's got one room in a shared house, which he pays 800 quid a month for. To get a mortgage, the repayments on a mortgage would be 700 quid a month, but they won't give it to him because he can't afford it, they claim.
Yeah.
But he's already paying more. Yeah. So we've got to look at this. From your point of view as an estate agent, are you able to help specifically first-time buyers, but actually any buyers, when they're looking at how to mortgage their property?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we work with a company called Just Mortgages, which is Hart's mortgage banner, and they can certainly help in that regard. I mean, the problem that first-time buyers are facing is mainly due to how high house prices are.
Yeah.
The banks and the lenders, they are still giving and probably more multiples to income than they have been before.
Right.
They've gone back to 95% mortgages as well.
Yeah.
But it's just the sheer, you know, actual it's the cost, price. Yeah. It's the cost. Yeah.
5% deposit on a £500 house is still, you know, and then what you're a lot of money.
95% of the rest of the value.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to afford to pay that on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
And they're just so scared of subprime lending.
Yeah.
Because of 2008.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is wise, but I think more housing is the answer, to be honest.
Yeah. Like you said, there's a lot of mortgage prisoners out there, you know, and I think that's frustrating for, you know, like say the first time market, so my two are coming up to 15, so there's a few more years of them being at home yet.
I hope they're saving up though, Beth.
They are. They've got the first little job. You know that.
Have they? Oh, cool.
But mortgage prisoner, I think, is a real frustration. Yeah. And like you say, the overall costs on a monthly basis is just crazy.
Get advice. My brief stint, I did about 2 months as a mortgage advisor, and the amount of people that came to me and just didn't have a clue, which, you know, didn't surprise me. I didn't think that they should know because the information's not there. Mm. But just speak to your mortgage advisor, look at your mortgage rate, look at the interest rates that you've got at the moment, look at how long you're fixing the mortgage for. Just have a real think, you know, what do I think is going to happen? There were so many people that would be paying the standard variable for the last 3 years. Mm. At the moment, that could be anything up to 5%, you know, when they could have been fixing it. And I was fixing people for, you know, 1.2, 1.3.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I think you also find a lot of people use comparison websites, you know, and
again, it's misinformation, isn't it?
Yeah, you just go, really? Really? Yeah. Are you going to give it to me for nothing? Oh, okay, if you say so.
That's down to the understanding of mortgages.
Absolutely.
Do you know what? I'll be frank with you. I know nothing about mortgages. Mm. Yeah. I know nothing about percentages. Mm. I know what I'm paying out. Mm-hmm. Zoe knows about that. She used to be IFA financial advisor and stuff like that. But I feel comparison websites are just so easy to use now. Do you know what? If you're going to save me £200 a month, I'm going to pick up the phone. And it's the same with energy and stuff like that. So I think it's all down to knowing.
Yeah. But I think you're absolutely right, Gavin. And that's talking to various friends of my kids about... They don't seem to have the same understanding of mortgages as we did when I was their age. And the reason for that is back then, at their age, all of us aspired to own a house. And we all knew about mortgages. There are only two types, to be fair. You know, a repayment mortgage or...
interest only.
There was another one that they had.
Endowment.
Endowment mortgage. Yep. The big one when I was young was repayment or endowment. Mm-hmm. We never took interest only mortgages because interest rates moved to 21%. Yep. You'd owe £3 million at the end of a year if you weren't careful. So we took endowment mortgages, which all went Pete Tong eventually anyway.
The red alerts coming through in the post every month.
Exactly. or repayment mortgages. But we all knew how a mortgage worked, because you had to. I'm not so convinced that people do, and there's a wider range of available mortgages and different ways of doing things and stuff like that. So I think information on mortgages is really important as well. I use comparison websites. We just looked at a mortgage for my eldest son who was moving, and we started off looking on comparison websites, but because I do know a bit about it, I'm going, really? Mm. Not really sure about that. So eventually we went to a broker because it was easier. And you got a more definitive statement on what you could do. Mm. So the housing market is in this strange place at the moment. We need to build more houses. We need to have more finance available. My personal view is we need a different way of young people being able to save. You know, the problem is, if you look at it, back in the 70s and 80s, interest rates were 17, 20%. But if you put money in a building society, you were getting 15% interest.
Yeah. You get it back.
Yeah. You were getting 15% interest. Mm. Yeah. You could actually live on the interest of, you know, if you had a couple of grand in the bank.
But here's the difference. Two things, and you're going to hate me, so I'm going to poke the bear a little bit. We are a big nation of buying houses. Mm. And actually, sometimes a house is not an asset. Mm-hmm. It is a money pit that you continually need to put in. So we really need to talk about, is it best for me and what I do to either rent a property, therefore I'm more free to move around, or should I buy a property? Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is how do we teach to save. We don't save anymore. Mm. It's about spend. Yeah, and I'm going to. And in the UK, we overspend 135% of our wages.
Mm.
Hold on a minute. Why is that happening? Mm. My grandparents would never allowed that to happen.
But we've kind of discussed this before, and it's one of my theses about why people's approach to work is different now in terms of millennials.
Sure.
And that's because we've taken away the need to save by not making it viable. Mm. Why would you want to save at 0.25% interest? Yeah. You're not going to earn anything.
But we need to look at investment, don't we? What is an investment to me? So is this house, is it an investment for me? Is it going to work to my values and beliefs? Yeah. Is it going to actually work for who I am and what I do? Mm. Or do I travel around the world and I need freedom? Therefore, I shouldn't be investing money, because I think we need to look at properties as an investment as well.
Yeah.
Not, you know, am I going to buy a second property or a third property? Oh, my goodness, all of a sudden, I'm paying capital gains tax now.
Well, I mean...
You know, so there's a big arena that we could talk about, and I don't want to take it off you.
And we've got exactly 5 minutes left.
Just touching on the letting side of things. Obviously, Hart have also got lettings. So the mortgage side of things, we've also got legals. We've also obviously got a letting for apartments.
But again, that's a market that's come and gone in a very short space of time. It's buy-to-let, hasn't it? We've got very big all of a sudden, and now everybody's bailing out because of the changing rules and stuff like that.
A lot of Airbnbs.
Airbnb is much more popular. But no, I think the market is, you know, I think, you know, we touched on some really interesting points. You know, we do need more houses. Sarah's just saying, you know, I do agree with majority of it.
The thing is, property has got so many aspects to it. It's a home. It's where you live. It's where you bring up your kids. It could be an asset. It could be an investment. It could be all kinds of things. Mm. It's actually the kind of topic where we need a regular show about, really.
Well, yeah, and what do we value it for? What is the value of this? You know, and that's where it comes back to the pricing and the market. I love the game of property, by the way. Yeah. I've done it for years and years, and I've loved it. Mm. And, you know, you can put something on the marketplace, and 6 months, you get an offer straight away and you go, oh, I'm not going to accept it.
Yep.
And then 6 months later, you sell it for less than that first offer because of the timing of that offer.
And you didn't have the right advice at the time.
Exactly.
And this is where I think...
It's vital. You have such a responsibility.
This is where I think we can help. And, you know, Hart certainly moving in the right direction is having that personal consultancy. Like you say, what is right to do with my money? Is this right for me? Should I buy? Should I rent? You know, should I buy more houses, you know?
It's a responsibility, and I think we need to talk about it and actually say, you know, because what is it that motivates the market? And really, it's greed, isn't it?
Greed and confidence.
I want as much as I can for my property.
Yep.
I want to get as much off as I do for buying that house. So it's not a bad thing, but it's a game.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you have Hart round to value your home, I think you'll see a very different look at the market and how we value property.
And I like to hear that.
A lot of data.
Because I think your industry needs that, and selling cars is probably one of the most exciting places for me to watch how business is going to change, how you sell.
Well, how Gareth said he wants to be a thought leader in social media, I think that's what Hart are trying to achieve in
I mean, we're investing in a hard market, so they're looking to do something that's different to all the other agents.
Everyone else is tightening their belt.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, there's so much we could talk about here, and I do want to talk about it, but we've run out of time. Basically, I've got 67 more tweets. Literally, I just looked at it. There's 67 more that have come in, and I haven't read any of them.
All about One Direction.
And we haven't even talked about One Direction. Louis Tomlinson.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much, Louis and Beth from Hart. Give us a shout out for how we can find out more about you. I know you've got kind of slightly separate websites depending on your offices.
The best way to find me is Hart Selling in Folkestone, and it's HAART Selling in Folkestone. If you go on my Facebook page, there's links there to all my other social media accounts as
Fantastic.
Well.
Fantastic.
That's the best place to start.
Mine's exactly the same, but just with Herne Bay.
Yep. In fact, there is a link to both of those on the Kent Business Radio website. So you can find the websites for both Herne Bay and Folkestone Hart, and also their Facebook pages, and of course you're both on LinkedIn as well, on Twitter as well.
Another quick thing I just would like to say, that's okay. We are looking to build a network of trades that is going to support our own area. So we are looking for three trades,
right.
Be it a plumber, electrician, solicitors, you know, anybody that can actually come on board to support us being the go-to agent. So
fantastic.
Please contact us about that as well.
So if you're a plumber, electrician...
any trades. Yeah. Will
anyone that's going to help with property.
Property. Fantastic. Do get in touch. For the moment, Beth and Louis, thank you so much. Do stay with us for the remaining 3 minutes of the show. But thank you so much for that. I've had a tweet from Seven Oaks Sports, the number Seven Oaks Sports on the Twitter. We're pleased to announce, Business Bunker, that Seven Oaks Sports magazine keeps going from strength to strength and has this morning been chosen as a finalist in the Kent Press and Broadcast Awards 2019 for Kent Magazine of the Year. If you want to find out more about advertising with us, please contact Steve at Seven Oaks Sports. So thank you to them and many congratulations. I do know the magazine. It's a fantastic idea for a sports magazine. They cover every local sport in the Seven Oaks area. So, congratulations on being nominated as a finalist in that award. I want to tell you about the Tech Expo 2019. It's taking place at the Clive Empson Suite. That's at the Kent Event Centre at Detling on Thursday the 26th of September from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. In the world that we now live in, we're surrounded by technology, and any business that does not embrace it is in danger of failing. The what technology is available out there, what technology will really help you run, build and grow your business, and what technology is coming for the future? What is the future? Well, at the Tech Expo, it's a full-day exhibition and seminars for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their businesses with the power of technology. You can meet with suppliers from different sectors, including IT, IT support, cybersecurity, software, digital marketing, online accountancy and web services. There are five fantastic speakers. And they are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, who's going to be talking about developing Microsoft developing to help businesses. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer at 10 Intelligence, talking about cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, who's the CEO of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth, who's a lawyer from Child & Child, talking about digital law and IP. Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, talking about being human in a digital world, which is kind of what we were talking about earlier.
Or human on a bike.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. There's also workshops with Aaron Taylor of 6-2 Technology, Stop the Sales Pitch, Start the Conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known to all of us as Hacks, CEO of Prisma Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business forward. International speaker, the absolutely fabulous Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media.
You look like I'm not there.
Having an adaptable content strategy plan. And the lovely Claire Derbyshire from LinkedIn, using LinkedIn for Business. There are still some exhibition stands available. If you're a supplier who doesn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of key buyers and business owners who are looking for the right technology, then you need to find out more about it. So visit techexpouk.com to find out all about it. As a delegate and visitor, it's entirely free to attend. It's on the 26th of September, and we'll see you there. Blimey.
I know. You did well then.
Yeah. Have you got anything left that...
Only just a quickie, yeah. Just a real quickie, and only because they are so valuable, are the Business Soundbites events, and they're at the University of Kent. Mm-hmm. And this is from the Kent Business School in Canterbury. And these are free events in partnership with Santander. I can never say it properly. I always want to go Santander. Mm-hmm. Santander UK. Sorry.
That's right.
On SMEs and access to finance. And this is on Thursday, the 6th of June. And if you want to go and book it, it's on this is the first time we've done this today. It's on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. They are brilliant sound bites. You don't know who's in the room. I always go to them. They are the best places to be seen and to meet people.
Yep, it's on a university campus at the Simpson Building, which is the home of the business school. We do work in partnership with Kent Business School. Those events, as Bert said, are really brilliant, really cool. I've had a tweet from Jules, who's probably recovered. It was her birthday at the weekend. Happy birthday, my darling. She went camping in Suffolk.
She wouldn't go camping.
She went camping in Suffolk.
With wellies.
Her new husband and 18 bottles of Prosecco.
Oh, it's messy. Like a,
yeah.
Good trip.
Yeah. So she is at home recovering now, but she has tweeted me to say, don't miss the informal yet dynamic business networking lunch on June the 7th. Yes, it's back. Slope off Friday.
It's have
at,
your courage
it's
with
at the
you.
Small holding, which is Will Devlin's gaff, which is absolutely brilliant. And it's at Kilndown, which is just around the corner from me in Tenterton. It's on June the 7th, 2 p.m. And it's an extravaganza. And the best way to find out about it, look at the pictures and book it, is to follow Slope Off Friday on their Twitter.
Nice. I'm even mentioning my show this week. How funny is that?
You haven't, have you?
I haven't.
Do you
want
to mention it?
It's the it's on channelradio.co.uk, Studio 2. It's the conversation tomorrow. It's from 1 till 2. I've got a local lady coming in.
Who have you got?
I've got Sam Palmer coming in, who runs Seven Oaks Ladies Joggers, and she also does first aid courses. Really amazing woman, come from a nursing background, very similar. And she's on the pathway of women's health and well-being and how to get you moving into a state of energy, so a high state of energy. So we're going to have loads to talk about. So she's on tomorrow 1 till 2 on The Conversation.
Fantastic. Very, very quickly, thing dear to my heart because I'm the president, the Kent Deaf Children's Society, there's a 3,560-foot tall mountain awaiting them. Yeah, Mount Snowdon, it's the tallest peak in Wales. And Veronica Laws, who's a local social worker, who's one of our supporters at the Kent Deaf Children, has set herself the challenge of reaching the top to raise money for us. So please do support her in that. UKVirginMoneyGiving.com/Veronica Laws. It's a brilliant thing she's doing, and we need the money. They cut our budget again, so we need the money. Kent Deaf Children's Society, please support UKVirginMoneyGiving.com/Veronica Laws. We're right at the end of the show. There is no Business Bunker Extra show on Friday this week because Amanda and the team are going to be at ZC Live. And they are going to be at ZC Live with their little microphones doing an outside broadcast instead. Nice. So they will be at ZC Live. There won't be a live show on Friday. They'll be back the following Friday with a Business Bunker Extra show. But we will be back next Tuesday with a Business Bunker show. Until then, have a fantastic week. We'll see you all soon. And thank you for joining us.
Bye.
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 The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.